It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
There's no job like this. This is the most important job in the world. Just as I did in my first term, we had a great first term, a great, great first term. I will govern by a simple motto: promises made, promises kept. We're going to keep our promises.
Yeah, that is President Trump early this morning, probably in the 1 a.m. hour, I'm guessing, Central Time, 2 a.m. to him, the 78-year-old, up, still going at it for the second day in a row at 2 in the morning, and that basically accepting victory over Kamala Harris last night. Now, the Harris campaign still has not conceded this race, but CBS News, NBC News, Fox News was the first, I think, to declare Donald Trump the winner with more than enough electoral votes. And Kamala Harris is so far behind now, even if she picked up one of these states that hasn't counted yet, it doesn't matter.
Associated Press waited until about 4:45, I believe, this morning to finally say, oh, we've projected that Donald Trump is the winner.
Yeah. In the break there, I went out and I flipped on the CBS Morning News because I was watching a CBS coverage last night briefly at about 12:30. And I noticed Gail King on the set last night. She was on the set with all the anchors. And she had her head in her hand, and she was just sitting there. Everybody else was talking. Gail looked shell-shocked. So I wanted to see her reaction this morning. It looks like a funeral pyre when you turn on CBS News. They're like, and CBS News has confirmed. Like, there's just like all the energy is drained out of the CBS News desk this morning.
Are they all wearing black?
I'm telling you, it's rough to be in the network news business this morning. Claire McCaskill, the whole group of them who of course, were saying that this was potentially going to be a landslide on behalf of Kamala Harris. You need to reject Hitler is basically what the messaging was, right? He's evil. He's going to jail journalists. I mean, the lies they told about this man were incredible. And this morning, Jay Johnson went on. I'll have the bite for you here shortly. And it basically said, hate won last night. That's still the message they're giving this morning. They can't believe that the American people disagreed with them. Now, we are keeping track of these national races, right? The Republicans, it appears, have regained control of the Senate by at least one vote, maybe more. So we're waiting to get details on that. The House, it could be, believe it or not, days before we know whether or not Republicans retain control of the House. There's still a lot of races to be decided, particularly in the western part of the country, regarding the House of Representatives. So right now, I want to get a hold of Eben Brown here from Fox News Radio. We got him on the phone. And Eben, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I'm tired.
Yeah, I'll bet you are. Were you in Florida last night? Where were you up covering things?
Yeah, no, I was at the Trump event at the Palm Beach Convention Center. So, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I got to see part of that. I listened to the speech on my way to work this morning after I grabbed 2 hours of sleep. So I know how you're feeling in terms of lack of sleep and rest this morning. So Kamala Harris has still not conceded this race, but I mean, there's no doubt all of the major news organizations have now called this for President Trump, right?
They have he has the enough electoral college votes that he would win the presidency. Yes, so with that he'll move ahead. There's been no concession from the Kamala Harris camp, and there's been no statement whatsoever from the president, Joe Biden.
Yeah, oddly enough, which makes me wonder. I mean, I was watching throughout coverage last night of the different networks to find out what maybe some of the problems, if there were complaints about delays in voting or voter suppression, and none of that really seemed to surface last night. So have you heard anything like that, that the Democrats might be looking at to try to delay this?
Nothing that they've communicated, but there's supposedly going to be a statement later today, and maybe they'll say something about that if that's what they want to pursue. But part of the Trump campaign strategy was too big to rig, and they may have succeeded with that.
Wow. I mean, maybe the most shocking part, Kim, is that Donald Trump won the popular vote, too.
Yep.
Because the last couple of election cycles, the complaint by the Democrats have been, well, we won the popular vote. We need to change the Electoral College.
Yeah, right. We'll do away with the Electoral College. And so in this situation, the Republicans won both. Donald Trump's won what appears to have won anyway, the Electoral College, the popular vote, and as well as giving the Republicans control of both chambers of Congress. So that's a pretty big win.
We heard a lot about, obviously, the economy, concerns over illegal immigration being two of the top issues leading up to the election. But then with a lot of these exit polls, I've heard that in some states, I think it was maybe Pennsylvania, the number one issue they were saying that drove them to vote the way that they did and to go to the polls was democracy. And it's funny because you hear Kamala's campaign trying to say Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. But this, it sounds like it was more so that she would be the threat, that she'd be trying to strip away, for example, our First Amendment rights, our Second Amendment rights. Did you get a chance to talk to voters who felt the same way?
Well, yeah, I have, and those things were definitely communicated, that that they were fearing for constitutional rights going forward in a Kamala Harris presidency. They were afraid of more things like COVID lockdowns and whatnot, enforced vaccinations or socially pressured vaccinations. And so, that was very much a real concern last night for a lot of these folks.
Yeah, I don't know. As I was waiting to get you on the line there, I pointed out the fact that while the Republicans have secured the Senate, according to the New York Times this morning, the House, there's still a bunch of seats that have to be decided at the House.
Yeah.
And they're saying it could take a few days to get all of those finished up.
It probably will. The House races work differently. They're just done at the congressional district level. So, they may take a bit longer, especially if they're still counting things in the state.
Yeah. Republicans, according to this, have secured 197. They would need 218 for control. The Democrats at this point only have 177. They got a little steeper hill to climb to get that. But, yeah, that would be an absolute game changer if the Republicans took control of all three of the positions there, the White House and obviously this House and the Senate. Just amazing. Eben, I hope at some point today, like me, you're going to be able to get a nap.
I'm planning on it.
Good for you. Eben Brown with Fox News Radio. Thank you.
You bet.
Yeah, take care of yourself. I feel his pain. We're kind of running on sugar at this point because Donut Delight delivered some donuts to us down here. Thanks to Scott up there at Dunn Road and Newhall's Ferry. And he delivered a box with the number 47 on it. If you're watching on the feed this morning on Rumble, Facebook, whatever, Carl is going to hold this up for the camera. This is fantastic. He made a big number 4 and a big number 7 in honor of Donald Trump and delivered it to the studio for us this morning. If you're looking for donuts, that's the place you got to go. He just kind of gets it, right? Fantastic. Thank you, Scott, for that from Donut Delight. And, of course, they're helping us out with the ATF raffle as well for Responder Rescue. They're going to be delivering donuts to some first responders. All right. We got more on that for you coming up later. Up next, we're going to get to Genevieve Wood from the Heritage Foundation. Remember Project 2025? What happens now? I don't know. According to the left, that's going to immediately be implemented, which, of course, we know is not true. But we'll talk to Genevieve from Heritage coming up in just...
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just a minute.
Donald Trump is a expert promoter, and he was able to get a lot of myths across the table that really were not true, but it was not well promoted on the other side. I think that we also have to deal with the issue of race and gender. There was a lot of gender bias in this. There was a lot of race bias in this.
The stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas.
Genevieve Wood, welcome to the party. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you?
Hey, we are having a great time here. We're filled up with sugar from the donuts that were delivered here this morning, and we're running on pure adrenaline at this point, I just have to tell you.
And just keep playing sound bites like that from the rubber now, and that'll keep you going all day.
Hey, I've got a bunch of those. Listen to David Axelrod. He said, I mean, these are the Democratic talking points this morning. It was sexism and racism is the reason that Kamala Harris didn't win. Listen to this.
Let's be honest about this, okay? Let's be absolutely blunt about it. There were appeals to racism in this campaign, and there is racial bias in this country, and there is sexism in this country.
Yeah, they all had the same talking points. That had to be the excuse. It couldn't just be that she was a horrible candidate.
And, you know, I just honestly, I have more respect for David Axelrod than what he just said right now. He's a smart guy. I don't agree with his policies, but he can read numbers. Trump did better with so many ethnic groups than he did even just 4 years ago and 8 years ago. I mean, look at what he won Latino men. He did better with Latino women. He won one out of every five black votes or men votes in North Carolina. I mean, this was a coalition that was put together that looks a lot more diverse, I think, maybe than like the Democratic Party does now. That just doesn't add up what they're saying. The reality is it was a diverse coalition that put Donald Trump in, and it's because he talked about the issues that affected everybody, no matter what color you were, no matter what part of the country you lived in. It affected you, the economy, the immigration issue, crime. Those issues mattered. It turns out to 80-something, million Americans, and that's who put him in office.
How long do you think it takes for Kamala Harris to actually do some sort of a concession speech? When do you think we could see that?
I'm in shock she didn't say anything last night, didn't even make a phone call. I just think it's rude. But I just think it shows the state of the party that they weren't prepared, even though I think they knew it was coming. They had to have internal numbers showing it wasn't looking good. They just couldn't bring themselves to the fact they lost to Donald Trump again.
Yeah.
And so I don't know when she's going to come out. I mean, it's anybody's guess at this point.
Wow. So here's my question, and inquiring minds want to know, because I've heard this the entire election cycle. At what point does Donald Trump stop by the Heritage office to pick up the Project 2025 blueprint so he can get started?
Well, now he can actually go look at it and read it and be like, oh, that's a good idea. Now I like that. Look, it's all on the website. Anybody, all of your listeners can read it, and Donald Trump can read it, and everybody's going to be in his administration can read it, because there's a lot of good ideas in there. And what's really going to be important, as you guys know, the first 18 months of this presidency is when the vast majority of all the things he's promised will have to get done. And that's true, not just because he's going to have a very narrow margin in the House. If Republicans win the House, I think they will, but it's not going to be by huge numbers. But that's going to be one of the main reasons he's got to do it. But that's just because you've got the momentum right now. You've just come off a huge election. This is when you make those promises happen. So the first 180 days, the first 18 months, this is when we need to see the most action. And I think he'll deliver. I'm not worried about it. I think he will deliver. I think he knows he doesn't have to rely on the Washington establishment. I think he learned a lot of lessons from 2016 in those 4 years. But I think he also knows a lot of Americans, including the Heritage Foundation, are ready to work with him and make it happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's no surprise to anybody where Kim and I stand on the abortion issue. We believe life begins at conception. But in the state of Missouri, Donald Trump won by 18%. The governor candidate here, the Republican, won by 21%. The same people that voted for those two conservative Republicans or Republican candidates also pulled the ballot for Amendment 3, which has now ensconced abortion up until birth into the Missouri Constitution. I'm baffled by it. I don't know who those people are.
It's really sad. And we saw better news in places like Florida last night.
Yeah.
I think it was North Dakota. There's one other place we saw that. Look, I think this is an issue that the left has been able to really turn and make people scared. And of course, they've lied about a lot of it, and they've been given tons of money to fight that fight. But we've got to get better. And I think we can take lessons from Florida, but we got to fight this battle, because you're absolutely right. We're, you know, in state after state, you're just seeing the pro-abortion lobby make inroads that they should not be making. And it's not because I believe everybody in Missouri wants to see abortion up until the moment of birth is the law of the land in that state.
Yeah.
I think they don't a lot of times understand these amendments. They don't understand the language, and that's on purpose by the left to get this stuff through. But we got to do a better job making sure people know what they're voting for.
I got to tell you, if it wasn't for all the darn hurricanes, I'd move to Florida. I just got to tell you, DeSantis is doing something right down there. He defeated recreational marijuana and the abortion issue in the same election, and he was out He was working, he was actively working against both of those, and they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that was huge.
Yeah.
Those are big, big victories. But it shows, again, Mark, it shows it can be done.
Yep.
And it can be done in a state that's diverse like Florida. Florida's not it's not a conservative state the way you would think of, like, Alabama. Okay, it's got a lot of folks. I'm kind of, you know, the whole, and the amount of money they spent on the trying to get the marijuana legalized.
Oh, yeah.
Huge.
Yep.
Huge. So it just shows if you have the right people out there talking about it in the right way, making it clear what's at stake, you can win on these issues, but you've got to be willing to get in the fray, and he was willing to do that.
We need to be studying Florida because, like you said, they're doing something right. It was disappointing our governor was not speaking out about this issue.
Well, not as strongly as DeSantis.
Not even close.
At least, that's for sure. Genevieve, thank you. Enjoy your day. We're kind of walking on air around here.
You guys, too. And let's keep it up for a while. Enjoy the week.
we will do that. Thank you. Genevieve Wood, senior advisor there at Heritage, out there dusting off her copy of Project 2025 so we can get to work instituting all that stuff. Said no one ever in the Republican Party. All right. Amendment 3, we brought it up a minute ago. Steve Rupp, president of Missouri Right to Life, is going to talk about that issue and what we do next in just a minute.
Be honest with you, I was pretty nervous going into yesterday that Amendment 3, the abortion amendment here in Missouri, would pass, specifically because of how misleading the wording was on the ballot. And unfortunately, that's exactly what happened. It did pass yesterday by about a four point margin. So the question now we have to ask this morning is, what's next? Where do we go from here? So this morning we have Steve Rupp joining us. He is the president of Missouri Right to Life. Steve, you guys have done incredible work to just inform voters about what this really means here in Missouri. How are you feeling this morning?
Like I got hit by a train. and I don't want to rain on the parade because there's a lot of celebrating going on. It should be going on. If you really take a look at this, I've kind of got bad news and I've got good news. So let's talk a little bit about the bad news first. The bad news is that children are going to die in the state of Missouri by tens of thousands of babies dying. Something that you just mentioned about the lies. Not once in that amendment did it say the word child or baby. Nowhere in that amendment did it say what exactly that's going to do. It's going to kill innocent children by violent means. If people had read that when they walked into the voting booth, we'd have won overwhelmingly.
Yes.
If you take a look at all of the candidates that won in the state of Missouri statewide, they were running against candidates whose number one issue was abortion. Yet all of them lost. Yet Amendment 3 passed. And it passed because of, I believe, for two reasons. Number one, it was filled with lies, filled with lies. And number two, $30+ million to propagate those lies. And unfortunately, people bought into it. And so that's obviously the bad news. Now, we don't want to get discouraged. And it's easy to get discouraged. I mean, the devil wants us discouraged. He wants us to quit.
Right.
But we can't quit. This is the time for us to double down and say, okay, we took a shot and we're still standing. We've got a lot of work to do. So the good news is, I had the catbird seat at Missouri Right to Life to talk to people across the state of Missouri and every one of the 114 counties in the state of Missouri who worked their fingers to the bone, making phone calls, putting up signs, knocking on doors, speaking at churches, speaking at rallies. It's incredible the amount of work that was done, and the pro-life community came together and did an incredible amount of work. I am so proud of what our people have done across the state of Missouri. And I'm proud of what you guys are doing and what you have done. Now, we didn't win, but you know what? All of those people came together, and in doing that, we grew closer to Christ. And this isn't specifically a religious issue. This is a moral issue. With Chucks, we were working with organizations like Atheists for Life.
Wow.
So, this is a moral issue, first and foremost. And people of faith certainly see it as a religious issue as well, but it's a moral issue. And it's a human rights issue. You know, the other side has done a fantastic job. You got to give them credit. Over the 50 years of Roe versus Wade, they have convinced America that it is okay to kill an innocent child in the womb if they disguise it as something else. They made it a women's issue instead of a human issue.
Yeah, I think that's true, Stephen. And, kudos to you for all that you've done as well. Do you? And I don't want to put you on the spot here, but Kim and I had a conversation with her pastor last week who was critical of those churches who weren't more vocal about this issue leading up to it. There was a hesitancy there, it seemed like, on the part of some of our local faith leaders to get involved in this issue. Did you find that frustrating?
Of course, but that's indicative of the job that the left has done, the abortion industry has done, in selling people on this is a political issue and churches should stay out of political issues.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is a moral issue.
Right.
And every church in the state of Missouri should have been screaming from the pulpit, this is a moral issue. This is the taking of innocent life. We cannot be okay with that. And, Mark, it doesn't, at this point, pointing fingers and looking backward isn't going to do us any good. We have got to sit down and we've got to analyze what happened. We've got to analyze what happened in Florida. Now, of course, they had a different threshold in Florida of 60% versus 50%. But if we'd have passed IP reform, where 5 out of the 8 districts would have had to have passed this, we'd have won.
Yes.
But it doesn't do us any good to look back on that.
Yep.
We can't, there's no sense in going backwards. We have got to look forward. And what we want to do now is we want to make abortion unthinkable again. 50 years ago, abortion was unthinkable. Before Roe versus Wade, abortion was unthinkable. Sure, there were some people having abortions. It was a very, very small percentage of people that were having abortions. And when abortion became legal, it exploded. Now 65 million dead children later, and here's where we are. So what we've got to do is we've got to make abortion unthinkable again. How do we do that? I believe that we have to do it by literally putting abortion on trial. We really haven't done that. We really haven't said, hey, an innocent child is being starved to death. An innocent child is being poisoned, having poison put into their heart. An innocent child is literally being dismembered while they're alive and can feel pain. Those are things that we don't talk about because they're hard to talk about, and people turn away from that. But that's what abortion is. It is the intentional taking of an innocent child's life by violent means. Yes. We have got to put abortion on trial
How do we get that? Because I absolutely agree, but how do we get that information out to people? Because you're never going to hear about that, like in school and stuff when you're learning about all that. You're not going to learn about that. I mean, what's the best way to inform the public about what this really entails?
Well, I tell you, Kim, that's a great question, and it's a hard question. It's a very hard question because obviously we haven't figured that out in 50 years. But have we really concentrated on telling the truth about abortion? We've talked about it in the political realm, and we lost. And now, when I say we lost the amendment. In the political realm, every pro-abortion candidate lost, basically, in the state of Missouri. And they led with abortion. So we know that we can, that there are people out there that will hear the truth and embrace the truth. Now we have to figure out how do we get that truth to the masses in the state of Missouri and across the country. And I don't know what the answer is to that, Kim, but I tell you what, we're going to look at it and we're going to boil this thing down to its nth degree and figure this out. We have got to figure this out. We have got to win people's hearts.
Yeah, and you know, I had a conversation last night when I was on the panel at Channel 4 with Gene Evans, and the question was, what happens next? I mean, does the legislature try, as they did with Clean Missouri, to put an issue on the ballot that puts some kind of restriction, some kind of common sense restriction on this? Because this has no restriction. It's clearly up until birth they can abort children. Maybe legislatively that's one thing they could do. It's going to have to go back on the ballot. It's going to have to go through an election cycle. But if you tell people, hey, here's what we're going to do, we're going to call them parents again, we're going to give parents control, and we're going to put a 12-week limit on it, something like that, so there's at least some constraint.
Yeah, from a legislative perspective, we're in a bad spot, obviously, yes. Because this is now going into our constitution. This isn't going into legislation or in the legislature. This is literally going into our state constitution. That's tough. That it makes it really an uphill battle. But you know what? We got truth on our side. We have truth on our side of what abortion is. We have truth on our side that this is evil. It's evil. I mean, no matter what your perspective is from a religious perspective, this is an evil thing that has been put into our state constitution. We have got to expose that evil.
Steve, there's a real quick question for you. There's people listening right now who feel devastated, gutted by this passing. What can people do? Is there a way for people to get involved who want to?
You know what? Again, Kim, that's a great question. Yes, absolutely. We have got to double our efforts. We have got to double our efforts. If people go to MissouriLife.org, we're going to be changing our website as we analyze this thing and we come up with a program, a plan to be able to expose this evil and expose the truth.
Right.
We're going to need people to help us. We're going to need people to help us get that message out to the people of Missouri, the people that just bought into the lie. I mean, this was a constitutional amendment that was bought and paid for.
Right.
Steve Rupp, thank you. MissouriLife.com is the website there, and I'm sure we'll be having more conversations about this, Steve. We appreciate you.
Thank you for your help so much. God bless you guys.
Yeah, you too. Thank you very much. By the way, we're going to open up the phone lines, 314-241-9797. What's your takeaway from yesterday? Was it the loss of Amendment 3? Was it Donald Trump's victory? I mean, the greatest political comeback that I know of, certainly in my lifetime and maybe in the presidential history in the United States. It was amazing. If you've got some thoughts on that, give us a call down here. 314-241-9797. We're going to get to your calls coming up. We'll be right back.
Kim on a whim.
All right, we want to open the phone lines now because obviously a lot of reaction to what happened. Mixed emotions on my end because obviously I'm thrilled Trump won. I'm devastated that Amendment 3 passed, though I'm not surprised. But again, let's open the phone lines. Joe, how you feeling this morning?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself, other than that passing?
Well, yeah. I mean, what's your reaction? What do you think it was that ultimately, helped Trump win this election?
Well, I think people finally figured out that if somebody's not going to tell you what they stand for, you got to go with somebody who's telling you what they stand for and go that route. She was like a salad. You didn't know what she was going to be about.
Yeah.
And then I guess my main question was on the abortion issue is that as of now, or when this goes in, goes in effect, that the fetus is not considered anything. So, but my question, my main question is if I'm driving down the road and I run into a lady who is pregnant, and God forbid the fetus dies, will I be charged with the killing of the fetus?
Yes, probably.
That's the hypocrisy all of this, Joe, that they'll never acknowledge. The side that wants to kill babies in the womb, they'll never admit that that's a life, but somehow it's not if you want the baby dead.
You can't have it both ways. It's either one way or the other.
But they do have it both ways, is the sad part.
Well, you're right. It is the sad part. They ran their whole premises on death. Think about it. Their whole thing was abortion, and that's just death.
Yep.
That is totally wrong. And in Judgment Day, they will be the ones sitting in front of our Lord and figure it out.
Right.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Joe, I appreciate the phone call. A couple more people holding here. Let me get to Paul. Paul, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir. Love your program. Listen every day.
Thank you.
And I'm very happy today that we won. But I honestly did vote yes on Amendment 3, not because I'm pro-abortion. Okay, you have to hear me out on this one. Please don't hate me for it. So we have a situation, with my daughter who's married. Her husband had a vasectomy. She does not want to have children. She doesn't. She's 30 years old. She does not want to have children. But the medical industry will not give her what's called a NovaSure ablation in case she changes her mind. Now, at 30 years old, if you decide you don't want to have children, you pretty much have it set in your mind, you don't want to have children. So I think there's a few more things that need to be changed. I would have loved to seen just different options for women as far as, things like that go. Because if you don't want to have a child, that should be your right, too. I mean, I hope I'm kind of making sense here.
I'm really sorry that she's in that position, and that would be tough. I mean, my stance on it would be, why should the baby be punished for that? There's just so many other options, and
would never have an abortion, but the only option that they give her is if she doesn't want to have children, and vasectomies aren't 100%, but they won't let her have that option of having a NovaSure ablation done.
Because of the current law in Missouri, you're saying?
Because of her age.
Oh.
Because she might want to change her mind. She's 30 years old.
Yeah.
She's been saying since she's 21, I don't want to have children. We're fine with that.
Yeah.
So she's put in that situation where if she inadvertently got pregnant, she would not have an abortion because she doesn't believe in it either. But she also doesn't feel the government should have so much control, or the medical industry. You know, if you want to put them both together, have so much control over a woman's body.
Well,
abortion is still murder in your way you look at it.
Yeah, I agree, and I appreciate the phone call. I don't know if current law would prevent. I don't know that it's current law that would prevent that, or if there's some other reason they don't allow somebody at the age of 30 to do that.
Yeah, I'd have to look into that more. I'll be honest, I'm not super familiar with that, so I don't want to speak out of term here.
Wanted to have a sex change, you could do it. So, and it doesn't prevent that.
Well,
I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying there are no limits on this now at all, and that's my biggest concern about it. Ed is online, too. Ed, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, Proposition A, Missouri has said it is closed for business. It does not want teens to get jobs, and it is telling every potential employer, move out of state if you can, and if you're going to consider moving to Missouri, don't, because our minimum wage goes up in perpetuity.
Yeah, I agree with you, brother. I was preaching it. I was preaching it. I'm like, your burrito and your Big Mac are both, you're going to wonder why you go through McDonald's and your meal for one person is $20 or $22. It's because they're having to pay the person cooking at $15, the person handing it to you out the window, $15. I mean, it's nobody cares about it. Nobody thought that through.
No, not at all. What they don't understand is why you can dictate how much you pay labor. You can't dictate to the consumer that they pay the price that the business owner needs to charge to make it profitable. So when these places start shutting down and people get laid off, You look back to this and say, well, you asked for it, but unfortunately it's going to hammer the state because it's going to hit everybody.
Yeah.
You know, every major corporation has wage scales. If you push up the bottom, every other one gets pushed up as well.
That's right.
And people are going to get laid off.
Yep, I couldn't not agree more. Ed, thank you for your call this morning. We appreciate the input from all of you. You know, people are clearly celebrating the Donald Trump victory here, at least most of our listeners are, except for Daryl, who called in earlier. This Amendment 3 thing is, I still don't understand why anybody voted for it. But a lot did. A lot voted for the Republicans on the ticket and Amendment 3. We got to figure out what's going on. Coming up, we're going to talk to one of the big winners yesterday, Congressman Elect Bob Onder at about 8:20. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.